You know, the great thing about sitting in for our friend Paul W. is that I just get to invite my friends to be on the show. And I am so delighted that we are getting a very long distance phone call today from Paul Eisenstein, publisher, editor-in-chief of Headlight.News. And Paul, I understand it is 1:30 in the morning in Japan where you're calling from. Have you just finished a tour of the famous Tokyo cat cafes? What are you doing there?
I'm actually down in Hiroshima, a few hours away by bullet train. And I've been spending time talking to a lot of the executives from Mazda, driving some new products, checking out factories, getting a feeling more broadly about what Japan says about the tariffs and how it's going to affect our relationship, both professionally and as two longtime allies.
Well, this is the focus of our conversation going forward today, and you get to kick it off, Paul. What are the Japanese auto executives saying? What are they thinking? How are they responding?
I think the general sense over here, much as I've been gathering from talking to European automakers, is that everybody is in a bit of shock, trying to figure out exactly what's going on and why. And then the most important thing for them is to figure out what to do next. So I had a chance to sit down with Jeff Guyton, who is the American-born CEO of Mazda Motor Company. And like a lot of other manufacturers, he is trying to figure out what the next step will be. He submitted what he told me was both Plan A and Plan B to his board and hopes to have some very clear moves in the next maybe week or so, maybe sooner, though he did pretty well hint to me at some of the things that their response will include.
So are they thinking, our Japanese friends, are they thinking this is just a negotiating ploy on behalf of the president, or that these tariffs are going to be kind of a long-term structural thing, at least while President Trump's in office, or none of the above?
Well, I think you find in general a lot of folks wondering if it is a short-term ploy. But everybody that I talk to is functioning as if it is a long-term reality. And it's probably better to have plans in place for the long-term rather than risking a bet that says, nah, don't worry about it, it's going to go away soon. And then suddenly you realize you're now way behind the eight ball because you haven't come up with a good plan. So I think that's what you're going to see, what you're seeing so far. From some competitors of Mazda, suggests that people are, you know, the planners at the various companies are coming up with short-term responses. For example, Hyundai Motor Company, as well as its sister brands Kia and Genesis, they have announced that they are going to hold prices at least through early June, and then they'll see in the coming weeks whether or not to extend those moves. What Jeff Guyton of Mazda told me was the one thing they know is if this is a long-term move, in his words, we can't swallow those tariffs. Remember, we're talking about the possibility of $3,000 at the bottom end per vehicle sold. So if you're talking about selling, well, let's talk a bigger manufacturer, one that sells a million vehicles a year in the United States, say a Nissan or something, you're talking about $3, $4 billion or more in tariffs. And that's both on U.S. and foreign-made vehicles because everything made in the U.S. has a lot of foreign parts. So that's something they have to figure out. How do they recover that money? Because they simply can't give it away to consumers. And they've got to make sure that they stay in the black. So this is a challenge that all manufacturers are facing, including Detroit manufacturers who build a lot of products in the U.S. And by the way, Mazda does have a factory that they opened up in late 2023 in Alabama as a partnership with Toyota.
So, Paul, you are one of the world's premier automotive journalists. And I don't say that because I'm a friend. I say that because everyone else says it. You've been covering the auto industry for decades now. Is there an analogous time that you've covered the auto industry to compare with the uncertainty that we're seeing now?
No, I don't think we have ever seen anything as serious as this. Now, we've had some hard times. It's, you know, the barely a dozen years since we emerged from the Great Recession, which brought the bankruptcies of both General Motors and the old Chrysler Corporation. We had COVID, which knocked sales for a loop. And over the course of my 45 years covering the business, there's been other problems. Remember, Chrysler got a bailout back in 1980 and so on. But nothing that was as potentially destructive as we're seeing right now in terms of a strategy which calls for radical change at a pace that the industry can't manage. Bottom line is, even if automakers wanted to move more production back to the U.S., it's not something you do overnight. As you mentioned before, the majority of jobs in Michigan are in some way or another related to the auto industry. So people, I think, are going to understand what I'm saying. You can't open new factories, even if you wanted to, in a matter of months. It takes years to, certainly for an auto assembly plant, to give it a green light, to raise the capital, to find the site, to build it, then to train workers, then to get all your suppliers in line, and so on. So we're talking 3-4 years in many cases, maybe even 5, before anything could happen. We may see some production move back to the United States. Factories may be able to squeeze in a little more production. We may see some suppliers on simple parts moving back. But bottom line, these tariffs,
which are taxes that'll be paid for right by consumers.
Yes, thanks. I'm glad you said that. I'll get back to that in a sec. But this is going to be here for a long time unless Trump backs down. And the bottom line is, I'm going to use the word, it's politically charged, but he's lying if he says the automakers are going to pay this. You are paying this as a tax.
Yeah. Well, Paul, I can't thank you enough for calling in at 1:30 in the morning from Hiroshima. I'm glad you're visiting Mazda. Mazda has always been one of my favorite Japanese auto manufacturers. I had a few 626s, a 626 Turbo back in the day. So thank you so much for joining us. Have a Sapporo beer before you go to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning, and make sure you hit that Cat Cafe.
I will do that.
All right.
It's good to be with you, Sandy.
Paul, thanks so much. Next up, my friend, my colleague, Glenn Stevens Jr. We'll be back.